What's up, nerds? It's Monday, July 31st, 2017, and you're listening to episode 24 of The Rat King, the number one gaming podcast in the Midwest. I'm Scott Petty, and with me as always is the anime hunk, Jose Merguia.
Hi.
As well as crackhead fingers, Justin Stokes.
What's up, everyone?
Justin waved his fingers.
Nails.
I think you said you had crackhead fingers. That was something you said off the podcast. I'll go with that.
What does that mean?
It means his nails are incredibly long, and his nail beds have crack.
Okay.
Yeah,
so. I didn't get a chance to clip them this morning, so I'll do that when
I do clip them daily, like most men shave. You just clip your nails daily.
No,
guys shave daily.
I think a lot of people shave daily. Yeah,
mess up your skin or something.
I mean, maybe, but if you have like tough skin,
I don't.
Fair enough.
I can't shave daily. I don't grow it enough.
I mean, you could shave daily, but it'd be more like just putting a blade against your bare skin.
Yeah,
for no reason.
Yeah, I don't want that. Was that razor burn?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah, I haven't used a razor in like I don't even know how long. Ten years. Who knows? Like a very long time. I just use a little electric thing because I have to have stubble because I'm kind of chinless and weird.
Oh, you're fine. Why don't we just draw one?
Draw a chin on me?
Draw a chin, yeah.
Like, we could 3D print a chin, maybe.
Dude, that'd be great.
Yeah.
You got Plato here? We can make a chin for you.
The philosopher? Was Plato a philosopher? I'm not very smart.
Plato.
Yeah.
Plato's Closet.
Yeah. You guys remember Plato's Closet?
Yeah, it's still around.
Local Indiana chain, I think, where you can go in and sell your clothes.
Yeah.
And then they'll say, hey, I'll give you $11 for 3 pounds of clothes. Is that a lot? I don't understand clothes. I know that my pants...
store credit.
Yeah. All of my pants are made out of silk, so they're very light. They're silky, thin, and smooth. Anyway, bye.
See ya.
So what's up, guys? What have you been up to?
Playing games. Lots of games.
Yeah?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
I played 3 games.
That's a lot of games.
Yeah, it's a good amount. I finished Dark Souls 3.
Yeah? And I heard you cried.
I did.
Yes.
I'm so sad.
You said, I think you told me you didn't want to go back to 1?
No, I love 1. 1's still my favorite.
Then you, well, you
I don't want to
you...
go back to 2.
Okay.
Why'd you cry? I want to know why you cried.
I didn't cry.
He as soon as he beat it, his girlfriend slapped him in the face.
Why, is it that's why you sobbed? She slapped you?
Yeah, she slapped me really hard. She has really happy hands. Heavy hands. They're like, that's the only part that like hurts so bad.
It's she wears those full finger rings that when you like make a fist, they're pointy.
Yeah.
So
but she wears them like on the inside.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, she can't bend her fingers anymore. No. So it's kind of unfortunate, but it does hurt you, and that's what matters.
Well, yeah, Dark Souls 3, great game. Finished the DLC. That boss, fuck, man. Probably one of the greatest bosses.
The best boss?
Yeah, I'd say so. It was hard as fuck. But Dark Souls 1 is still my favorite.
Better than that lady at the end of Infamous Second Son?
Yes.
Okay, I agree with that.
Better than Big Boss?
Yes.
I heard he's...
the biggest.
Big. Yeah. No, not the biggest.
Yeah, he's pretty
big.
He's
a big guy.
Yeah. Played more Splatoon 2.
Yeah, how's that going?
It's fun as fuck.
Yeah? Yeah. Better than Splatoon 1?
Yeah.
I've heard...
because it's on a Switch.
True.
It's not, I guess the motion controls, you're supposed to play, it's best with motion controls apparently. I don't like it with motion controls, so I just play it regularly, and the weapon I use doesn't really need motion controls.
Well, why do you say it's better with motion controls if you don't like it?
Everybody's saying that it's the way to go, and then my girlfriend's better at me at it.
Well, have
with
you tried
motion
it?
Controls. Yes, it's terrible.
What's the motion control do?
It aims. So...
oh, so you just aim at the, okay, I get
it. Yeah. Well, like, you use the whole thing, like, the tablet. So, like, even if you're playing, like, with the tablet on, or whatever you call it.
A tablet on.
Is it a tablet on? Okay. Like, you still have to aim by moving it, and your screen's moving, and you can't see certain parts of it, so it's weird. But other than that, like, it's... I don't know. I can't do it. Like, I use the brush, so, like, that doesn't really benefit from, like, the gyro.
Motion control, yeah.
Because it's literally like the brush goes side to side and it throws paint, whereas like a gun, it just shoots straight. So like that's where it benefits from motion controls because it like goes everywhere. And that's what you want to do with most of the game is just throw paint everywhere.
I gotcha.
You were interested in it, weren't you?
A little bit, yeah. I'm sort of on the fence. I watched some more gameplay last night and I'm probably going to pass, especially because like I've been really wanting to get into The Witcher lately.
Yeah.
And I think I need to now that I have sort of a break from Zelda. I'm like, well, maybe I'll jump to The Witcher. And I've been seeing a lot of like resurgence of people talking about how good it is.
Man, it's
really
great.
Good.
Yeah.
I'd say if you want to jump in on Splatoon and like you really think you're gonna play it, I say do it now before it like dies down.
Yeah,
like there'll still be people playing it, especially since they have like the whole monthly Splatfest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like eventually it'll go down and it's not there's not gonna be a lot of people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know Witcher, you can go and run whatever you want. Yeah. But if you're hot on the Witcher right now, fucking just do Witcher.
Yeah, I'm not a huge multiplayer guy. That's my thing. It's like I like multiplayer. Like I love Titanfall 2. Because it has great multiplayer, but it's also attached to a great solo campaign. And so even if it didn't have the multiplayer, I'd have been happy. But if it was just the multiplayer, like Titanfall 1,
they're I wouldn't still have been doing stuck. Updates for that.
Yeah, they recently had another update. Yeah, they're doing they a ton of support mode. For it. Yeah,
but I'll talk about that in my week.
Hell yeah!
And then I started the God of War collection.
Yeah.
So
I advised against it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fucking PS2 ass PS2 game.
Yeah.
Like Jesus Christ.
I still say that they're solid games for their time.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong, but
it has a lot of things where you're like, why is this in here? There's puzzles in that game.
Yeah.
Why? And platforming. Bad platforming.
Yeah, platforming sucks. I think
it was like a platformer. More so than an action game.
So, like, at this point, I'm like, I went in there for, like, catch up on the story and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, the first one, like, literally has no story to it, pretty much, other than, like, Kratos is angry, he jumps off a cliff. 3 weeks earlier, you're doing this now, and go kill Ares. It's literally, like, that's it. I was like, oh, okay. And now, like, I'm getting to more parts, and like I said, after playing Devil May Cry 4, I'm like, man, this isn't as polished as I want, like in terms of combat.
Yeah,
it's super like simplistic.
Well, does it remind you of Dante's Inferno?
Yes. Yeah, extremely.
Yeah.
Well, isn't DMC4 a PS3 360 title?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, even Devil May Cry 3 had like way better combat in terms of that. I don't know, DMC2, that was bad, but like freaking God of War, it's an okay game, like you said, for its time. But like after playing like games like that, it gets kind of weird. Mm-hmm. It does do like this weird like a counter system where like you block as soon as you get hit and it counters their attack, which is I think is pretty cool. Now I'm like more interested in seeing the progression and how the games work in between all of the games. So that's the only thing I'm more interested in now is like, so God of War 1 is essentially kind of not great. Will 2 fix certain things?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's why I'm like, I'm super excited. I'm like, so I want to see what they fix. Will it look better? Will 2 look better? Because one
a little bit.
One looks, the only thing that looks great in one are the, like the bosses and Kratos. Everything else, kind of like the NPCs and stuff, look like PS1 models.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, and I mean, I disagree that there's not story to it. I think there's a decent story, especially being the first in the series.
Well, I'm 3 hours in.
Okay.
But it's literally like starting the game is like, hey, this is a story about Kratos and how he was forsaken by the gods or whatever. Yeah. And then it's you start off on a boat, you're fighting a Hydra, you go back and then like they dump everything going like, yeah, you need to kill this guy for us or you need to kill Ares for us. Go do it. And like there's like not a lot of story to it.
Yeah, there's not a lot of exposition.
But once two at least. I think two might update on that just because from what I've seen. And then three, I mean, that's when it's a PS3 game. Like,
yeah.
That's when they start realizing like, oh, this is more story driven at this point.
Yeah, because I think some people might forget that Kratos was the mascot. He was Sony's mascot.
Was he really?
Well, yep. in terms of
he's like their action there mascot.
There was no Crash Bandicoot anymore. Right. There was no real Jack and Daxter shit anymore. Uncharted didn't exist, so there was no Nathan Drake yet. Like he was huge. Right. People loved him. Seeing God of War at E3 made people lose their shit, like all of the sequels and everything, and then kind of lost its way almost with 3, but definitely at Ascension. And then now, of course, that's why they had to reboot it, is because can't really do much else with it.
Yeah. Well, like, I was wondering, like, is there platforming in the second one?
A little bit. Not as much. Cause
I imagine there'd be in all of them.
I mean, yeah, there's definitely... Well, 3, you lose the platforming for the most part.
Yeah.
But 1 is the only time where it's noticeably bad, I think.
And it does that thing that the first Devil May Cry did with the fixed camera.
Seamless.
Well, I was like, what, did I say anything afterwards?
No, you're good.
It has a fixed camera.
Yeah.
So like kind of like Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm.
How you can't control the camera and use the right analog stick to evade. And so like there are times where like the platforming sucks because you jump off one thing and the camera changes position, but I'm already holding that, which causes my character to move to the right.
Mm-hmm.
So like I fall.
Are you sure you're not adjusting in the middle?
Huh?
Are you sure you're not adjusting at the camera change? Because I didn't really run into that. Like,
what do you mean adjust?
Like if I was jumping forward, let's say, and I'm holding forward, that camera would change. As long as I was still holding forward, I would go to the platform.
No, that's it. Like it goes down like that. Like, and also like they change the controls somehow. Like, you know, when you fall off a ledge and you're hanging on, it tells you to press X.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where I'm just hanging on a wall and I press X and I just drop.
Nice.
So I'm like, what? I'm getting used to it. Like,
yeah.
I'm like extremely forgiving of this game just because it's like, well, it's
15 PS2 years
game.
Old. Yeah.
I'm like, it's fine. It's just, it's funny to me. A lot of QTEs.
Yes.
Not done well.
A lot of box moving, which also wasn't done well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The QTEs, like I said, like it could be done well in some games, but like in God of War 1, it's kind of weird where it's like I would save QTEs for like the boss or something.
Mm-hmm.
They use it for every enemy.
Yeah.
And like,
well, those are his combos, right? That's how you chain his combos?
They're two separate things. Yeah. I know what you're talking about, but yeah, they have just like straight up QTEs where it will come up on there and say, you got to rotate the stick this way, and then you got to hit triangle on that. So, I mean, it is technically a combo, but it breaks you out of the combat to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's one of those things where like, hey, at least for like the first 2 hours of the game, I don't know if your swords get stronger or not. Like, I've been leveling up the swords, but like the beginning of the game, it just seems like I'm supposed to be using the QTEs to kill certain enemies.
Yeah.
So like the Minotaurs, they're kind of annoying because they block all the time.
Yeah.
So QTEs is the way to go.
Yeah. And then once you get to like Medusa, that's the same thing.
Got that too. And like, yeah, but then your mana runs out too fast and you need to upgrade the mana and it's just fucking weird.
Yeah. There are a lot of issues with it. They get addressed into, but like I think they are still solid games. I just think if someone's looking for the experience closer to what you'd expect from today, you would want to start with that remake for 3.
Well, it's like if you want to play the Devil May Cry series, you're going to play Devil May Cry 1 and be like, oh, this used to be Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, let's play 2. Maybe it'll be better. And then, no, it was garbage. And then 3 happens and you're like, oh, this changes everything. And then 3 carries over to 4 and 4 is a
Did the writing ever get good on Devil May Cry?
No, definitely
not. Because it was awful in 3. I remember that much.
It was supposed to be super cheesy. And that's what 3 and 4 was. That's what it is. It's literally what it is.
I remember playing Devil May Cry, but I was playing as a lady with red hair. So I don't know which game that was. And she threw like shurikens.
You're playing Blood Rain.
No, it was Devil May Cry.
She was a sexy vampire?
No, she was... Because I would swap out because there would be a boss fight, and I would switch from Dante to her, and I would keep chaining combos.
Are you sure that was Devil May Cry?
Yeah, because it had Dante, and it's like that bar scene where he's... flipping over chairs and stuff, or flipping over a table, and he grabs his guns.
3, but I don't think you can only play as Dante and Virgil in that game.
Who's Virgil?
His brother, the white hair as well.
Did she have like a cape and whatnot?
I think so.
Her name was Lucia. Does that sound? She's a devil hunter who appears in Devil May Cry 2 as one of the playable characters.
So it was okay. Yeah. Number 2 then. Got
it was 2, but yeah, she was in it. I'll show you. Did she look like this?
Yep, okay. That's her.
That right there. She's a redhead with a cape and these two like scimitar type swords almost, and very tight leather pants and nice abs.
She's got a mask, right?
It's a scarf that covers the bottom part of
her. Yeah, that's the only one I played, and I was like, oh, this is all right.
3's good. Play 3. That one's good.
I'm good.
Would you want to play 3?
You can solidly pass those.
Yeah. No, I'm good on
3's great. Like in terms of like do you guys like character action games kind of?
Well, yeah.
Like God of War but good.
I prefer God of War over Devil May Cry.
Well,
because
like God of War is like that's the thing that I have a problem with, like going from Devil May Cry to God of War, is that God of War is literally just like mash these buttons and sometimes press triangle to link this quote unquote combo. Whereas in Devil May Cry, I'm like, okay, do all this stuff, like do your combo, which is square square triangle or triangle square triangle, and then lift them up into the air, shoot them while they're up there, jump up, switch weapons while you're in midair, and then like just keep going, and then get an S rank on
your
style
games,
or whatever.
It's like Devil May Cry, Ninja Gaiden, Onimusha. They're like all the same to me. I really like the Onimusha series, though. Ooh. I guess because it was more like samurai-ish.
Yeah, I've never played Onimusha. That's something that I've been wanting to play.
I just felt like when I was at God of War versus like Devil May Cry is like, when you hit someone, it doesn't really feel like you're hitting someone in either of them.
Devil May Cry?
in either of them.
Okay.
You see, like, the controller will rumble or whatever, and you'll see that it's affecting them in some way, but it's not like now where, like, I guess what I'm thinking of is, like, say you compare it, obviously, mm-hmm. extremely different to, like, the Batman games, mm-hmm. Where, you know, all of the punches are solid. They hit a specific point on their body because of how the combat is.
Right.
Whereas on those games, it's literally a hack and slash. That's what they're for. And for me, I'm like, well, if it's going to feel like this anyway, where it doesn't feel like there are real hits and real, real effects from my actions or whatever, then I'd rather almost be a little more cinematic like God of War than just a regular hack and slash.
See,
like Devil May Cry.
The thing with Batman, the reason you feel all that is because it's a lot slower, I guess.
Yeah.
The combat, and it, like, there's like some good hits there in that game.
Whereas, yeah, I'm hoping the Spider-Man game will be like that.
Bayonetta and Devil May Cry, you don't feel those punches that much because mm-hmm. you have to keep going.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, that's what I don't like is just like,
gotcha.
Oh, this isn't like on Batman, you're like, this is a henchman who's linked to reality in some way, where if I punch him in the head 5 times, he's probably gonna get knocked out.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm Batman, where it's like, okay, this is a new enemy I've never met before, that's gonna take somewhere between 30 and 40 hits and then they'll fall. And the reason I will forgive that is because I'll do a bunch of flashy shit in the middle.
But I'm super interested to see the progression and the gameplay.
Yeah.
And like I guess the storytelling, because you go into those challenge room where you get your new powers,
mm-hmm.
and like the god is like, you can have this power, but first you must be tested. And then they throw in like some trash mobs and you have to fight them. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
PS2.
Yeah, and I can tell you the story doesn't necessarily get better.
Neither in 3?
No, I don't think so. I think it's like, I don't think it's a good story, but I think it is it's the story they wanted to tell.
Is it entertaining at least?
I thought so.
Okay,
but then again, I played them when they first came out.
Right.
And now it's 15 years later.
I'm not really looking into this game to be like, oh, snap. Like,
yeah.
The story's fantastic. Like, no, it's literally like to catch up, I guess.
For me, it's like a nostalgia appreciation of it.
At this point, like I said, though, it's just mostly, wow, I really want to see how they like,
link it to the Norse one.
Well, no, I mean how they improve on the games.
Yeah.
And then like, because 3 is I assume is going to be extremely different than the new one,
because mm-hmm.
the new one's more like an Uncharted kind of thing, but with melee. Like, it's the closer to the third person camera and not going to be kind of like a God of War game, I guess, how
mm-hmm.
like his camera is way out and like you were doing a lot of like combos and stuff and super fast, whereas the new one looks a lot slower and more, I guess, story driven.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm interested to see like how it gets better, mm-hmm. I guess. Well, that's pretty much it for me.
All right. I know Justin has a lot this week, so I'll get and go, because I'm gonna keep it pretty short. I don't think I played any games this past week at all. I don't remember playing any.
So that's how short it is, just didn't do anything.
Yeah, pretty much. I think I kept watching bad action and like superhero movies, but uh-huh. I don't even remember them.
I was
now.
Gonna ask you, like, what's it this week?
Yeah, I don't quite remember. I'm sure it was something with Dolph Lundgren at some point.
Punisher?
No, that's not Dolph Lundgren.
He was in the original.
Oh, you're talking about, oh, well, I don't think of him as, I think of him from Rocky.
Oh.
That was like his like huge
breakthrough.
Role. Yeah. And then what else? I've been cleaning up the basement, and I'm about to pack up a couple of my consoles. 360 is getting boxed up. I never used it. Wii U is actually going to go in the studio here,
mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to play games that you can play on the Wii U tablet as well.
Super Nintendo games and 64 games?
Pretty much. There's like, I want to say around 25 or 30 actual Wii U games that mm-hmm. you can play on there, and then there are 5 that you can't, and that's their entire library.
N64 games work well on it, and you don't have to deal with a really bad controller.
I gotcha.
Good. I might also put up my Vita. I'm not sure. I haven't really decided. There's been nothing on there for me to grab it. Like, when I travel, I'm just going to bring my 3DS.
And in Undertale?
No.
Okay, because that's coming out for Vita, too.
Yeah, I'll pass on that.
I'm probably going to play it. I've never played Undertale, and I didn't want to play it on PC. I'm like, sure, I'll pick it up if it came out on Vita, I'll play it on Vita.
Yeah, and I kept them. I was thinking about selling them, as I mentioned a couple mm-hmm. episodes back, but I wouldn't get much for them, and I'd much rather just have them so 10 years from now or whatever, I can pull it out and be like, hey, I remember this. I'm going to play Halo 3 now.
Just frame it.
Yeah, the whole thing. I'll put in a giant light box on my wall.
I remember Halo 3.
That's a great game. Long time ago.
I also brought up the Retron 5 that's been in my basement for like a year now. I didn't buy it So that's so good.
I've never seen one in person.
I'll show you when we leave. I obviously let you guys fuck around with the controller.
Oof.
Which is not a beautiful controller, and it likes to make this sound. That was the analog stick.
Yeah, that's just the analog
stick. Yeah, that's not even the buttons.
Oh my god.
So yeah, I didn't buy it because if I did, I would feel shitty about spending money on it, because I think it's like 120 or 150 bucks.
I feel like the way it's designed, that you have to buy the add-on for like the side pads to hold it.
Yeah, to have like arms to it, yeah. Or something. Yeah, so it's not great, but I'm gonna fuck with that. I'm gonna get it updated and see if I can get it going. It's interesting. It looks okay on screen, mm-hmm. Better than I would have imagined, because it is HDMI as opposed to fucking composite or whatever, right. Which no TVs really have anymore.
What is it? TV audio and or video? Video and audio, the little red, white, and yellow.
Yeah, that's composite. And then, yeah, we'll see how that goes. Oh, and I downloaded the Lawbreakers beta for PS4. And I got one match in before all of the servers went down, basically, I guess.
But did it feel good? Did it feel like an old, like, tournament shooter?
So when I got in there, I just joined a quick match, and it was Blitzball, I think is what they're calling it.
Okay.
Blitzball.
Sure.
Was from that a Final Fantasy X?
Okay.
I never played Final Fantasy X.
And then you jump in, you have a... So it's called Lawbreakers because there are two factions. There's the Law, uh-huh. And there's the Breakers.
I want to be part of the Breakers. Guys, that sounds cool.
Yeah, I like the Breakers too. Everyone likes bad guys more than good guys. Yeah. But none of them are really bad or good. I don't know. It's a whole thing. So you go in there and you have a very much like Overwatch style selection screen where it has, you know, Law and Breakers, you know, tiers. And then mm-hmm. You choose your character, whether it's like a Vanguard or an Assassin or a Titan or a Juggernaut or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you choose them. You start playing, and of course, when you die and you respawn, you can choose to change your
right.
character. And like I said, I played Blitzball. We won the match. My current kill-to-death ratio is 1-1, which is better than it is in most games.
All right, I got you.
So, MLG. Crushing it. Yep, exactly. It.
So, this is going to replace Overwatch eventually, right?
Never. So...
Yeah, I was going to say, don't count on it.
Yeah, I got into it. And it was fun. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of fun playing it. I wish there was like a training ground in it. And maybe there will be in the finished product, but I don't really know. So I would see people... I don't really think you can run on walls. I could be wrong, but obviously there's the whole anti-gravity
stuff.
Yeah,
they have like the grapple hooks, right? Is that what they use?
I have no clue. That's the thing, is nothing's explained to you. It's just the beta. And you can, of course, look at like the controller map out. But there's not much to it that really explains it. So I was a little confused with that, because I would see people utilizing... Obviously, I would use my gun and kind of float in anti-gravity, which was cool. But I would see people sort of running on walls or using a jetpack to better their abilities or special things. And it was interesting, but I was like, "What? I'm just fucking running around and killing people."
Yeah, I'm just running. Everyone's like sprinting.
Yeah, and
maybe that was like their class ability or something.
Well, I later played as a character and learned how to sprint. And you kind of, it's like an agility button where you can sprint for a certain amount of time, and then you have to let it
cool down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then the same with, you don't really have grenades, as in like ammo for the grenades. You just hit it and it has like a 15-second cooldown time, and depending on what your character is, you'll lob an actual grenade or like a plasma or just like... I was playing as one of the Vanguards, and you would just throw like 5 firecrackers, it looked like, and hit somebody with that. And then they also have a special ability with triangle. Mine was...
Those are the rockets, right? Those are the rockets, right?
Depending on your character. Okay. So the first one I played as, I don't remember any of their names, because like I said, I got one game in. He got like these homing rockets. So you select someone and it follows them, and they can evade them after a certain amount of time. And then the next person I play as, you basically choose sort of who you're aiming at, or the general area of who you're aiming at. Then you fly up in the air, and then you crash down and like explode next to them, basically.
Okay.
And you're totally safe, but it obviously hurts them. And then meanwhile, it's sort of like capture the flag. You're grabbing the ball, trying to protect the runner or kill the runner so that you can grab the ball and take it back, that kind of thing. And it was genuinely like entertaining and fun. And I think it just didn't feel quick enough. And I think it'll help if I can get into my settings and adjust like my camera sensitivity. Yeah. That will help. But even then, the walking, you know, or sprinting, like before you actually use sprint, you're moving fairly slowly. It didn't feel like I wanted it to feel. It felt pretty slow. So I don't know. I'll probably come back next week with a little more. Even though this is coming out Monday, we're recording on Saturday when it all started. So
yeah. How long is the beta?
It's through Monday. So okay. The day this comes out, it'll be ending that day.
Okay.
Also, the day this comes out, it's your last day to get the PS Plus game. So download Until Dawn. Do it. It's free, you assholes.
Added it to my library.
Good. You should.
I do that with every game, really.
Yeah. Just add it to your library. You'll play it one day when you're sad. I don't know. Do people do that? Yeah, but I think that's pretty much it. So I'll come back next week with some Retron 5 news. It probably won't be good. And some more shit on Lawburger.
Gotcha.
So what's up, Justin? What did you do? You played a lot of Fortnite.
Yeah, so I'll start off with Fortnite.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really different. I was expecting it to be just like a kind of Left 4 Dead-ish type of game. Mm-hmm. And it is, in a way. But it's a multiplayer co-op game. You gather resources. It's very much a dungeon defender.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think of any games that come to mind with that. I can't really think, but it's a dungeon defender. So you go, you get resources, you build a base around the objective, and then you defend it from waves of zombies.
So tower defense.
Yeah, that's what it is. What okay. I say.
Dungeon defense.
Yeah,
it's tower defense. I think that's like a different category, dungeon defender.
Yeah, he just made it up. It's good. Yeah.
Well, no, there's Deception. Have you played those games?
Mm-mm.
You're like an anime girl in a dungeon, and you have to like make traps inside, and then invaders come in, but it's like in an enclosed space, and each room has a different dungeon that you make. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. Never heard of. Sorry. Yeah, but yeah, it's very much a tower defense game. You start off with a soldier class, and there are different classes. There's your soldier class, there's a constructor, there's a ninja,
mm-hmm.
and then there's like I want to say like Outlander, and between each class there are subclasses. So I'll just give you an example. For the soldier, you can get like a commando or whatever. Okay. And like there's all kinds of subclasses throughout each class. And what I was definitely not expecting was the massive like old Final Fantasy like perk trees, like for Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
10.
I've heard those are kind of insane.
Yeah, it's huge. There's four pages, and within each page is like 70 perks that you add on to your character and whatnot. And then on top of that, they have, I'm trying to remember what it is. It's I think it's called like science or something like that. There's another giant skill tree where you pull your resources in, and it's like for like your tech, your like your weapons, your damage, mm-hmm. your defense, and all that stuff. And I was really caught off guard by that. And it's a lot like how Scott said, the beta just threw stuff at your face. Since this is early access, they don't really tell you what to do. So you flip through the menu, and it's really overwhelming at first, mm-hmm. because there's like your map, there's your inventory, there's like a scrapbook, there's all this stuff, and then you go to the perk trees, and it's just like, boom, it's all right there, and you don't know where to start.
Have you been playing by yourself, or is it with, like, a party, or...?
I played a little bit by myself. Okay. Mostly, I've been playing it with my cousins, because they have it also, and you can do four-player co-op, or you can go in solo.
So, when you go solo, like, is there a difference between solo and, like, playing with a party? Like, is it easier? Does it scale? Like, is there more coming towards you, or...
No.
Or is it just a lot harder when you're playing by yourself?
It just depends on who's the leader. So, okay. Since I'm at a relatively low level, mm-hmm. compared to my cousin, stuff will be a lot easier for him. But if I were to play at his level, you know, the monsters that usually take one shot to kill for me,
okay.
now take, like, 8 or 10 shots. So, the monsters scale to your level.
Do you get extra EXP for doing that?
I think so, yeah. One match I got 5 skill points, so I think it just depends.
Huh.
There's also loot in the game, so you can get weapons, you can craft weapons, and there's also traps. And so there's a lot of building and resource management going on.
Mm-hmm.
So you get like schematics for like a green quality gun, and you can build it. And you get schematics for like purple, like epic traps that you can make. And you can only make the item once unless you come across a schematic again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he said if you save it to your scrapbook, I think you're able to like permanently have it. I could be wrong. There's the whole thing of gathering resources. So you get your wood, you get brick, and then you get metal. So you gather wood really fast, and then as you go to brick, it gets, you know, relatively slower. And then when you get to metal, that's the hardest thing to, you know, get your resource, because you can only get so many. Since this is early access, and some levels are really long, so when you first start the game, you'll have to find the objective, build your base around it, defend it for 5 minutes. But when we were doing levels at like power level 18 stuff, we had to defend it for 10 minutes. Take a break, rebuild your fort, defend it for war, 10 minutes again. Take a break, defend it for 20 minutes or something like that. And so since it is early access, I would like to see the, the harvesting bumped up, because you can gather wood crazy fast, but you can't gather brick and metal. So I'd like to see if they can bump up the, like, gathering the metal and the brick up to where the wood is now, and then just increase the wood. Because, you know, when you do the pretty much defending part, and you have to defend, like, waves, and I mean, like, massive waves, like, hundreds.
Yeah.
And then so it gets repetitive, and it gets pretty hard. I've been playing as a class called the Outlander, and so their main thing is they gather resources faster.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you have your builder who uses less resources to build, like, your fort, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think the soldier, he just has, like, a grenade ability, and he's just, like, an all-around, like, easy class to play. And then you have your ninja who, like, double jumps, and it's, like, really fast. I've been playing as the Outlander, because, I guess, to me, they're the easiest, especially early in the game, because you can gather more materials faster. And since you have to defend the bases for quite a long time, he is my best bet. I want to get a constructor because they have a giant armor pack on, and they look pretty cool. But other than that, I mean, I don't want to say sounded, because I did play. It's a really great game. I wasn't expecting it to be what it was.
And this is from Epic, right?
Yeah. So since it's from Epic, I was totally caught off guard, because I was used to like a Gears of War game.
Yeah.
But it's very cartoony. It's very much in the same vein as Overwatch, but with, instead of like an arena shooter, it's tower defense.
Right.
Yeah, I heard it's very like cheerful.
Yeah.
The characters actually smile and look like they're having fun.
Yeah, and like whenever you dance, it plays music, and your guy is like, since I play as like the Outlander, and he runs out of stamina, like he's out of breath, and he's like, please stop or something like that. Yeah, it's I like the characters. They're very lovable.
And they're eight altogether.
Ooh, no, there's a lot of characters.
Are there really?
There's...
Oh, are there eight classes? Is
yeah,
that
there,
what I'm
no, there are one, two... There, I think there's four or five classes.
Okay.
But between each class, there's, I don't know, probably like 12 subclasses each. And there's like a lot of different character models also.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Like, but I had a lot of fun with it.
When does it come out? Like, or is it just still like...
I think it's out now. When I was playing it was early access for people who purchased the game, and then so I believe it's out now for everyone if you purchase it. And then sometime in 2018 they're going, I don't know, it's really confusing. They're saying it's free to play in 2018, but I mean you can play it now, so I don't really understand the whole thing behind that. I don't know if it was like pay to play now or whatnot.
I think right now you pay, you know, $20 for the game or whatever. And then in January...
Oh, you mean like in January it'll be like downloaded for free?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a subscription-based thing. It's like, popped up for me to put this in.
I think it's just going to be, you know, right now you can buy the game, or you can wait until it's free to play, and then, you know, they'll have microtransactions to make that money.
So. Yeah, and you get little llamas. They're piñatas. You break them, and you break them open, and you get items. There's a category for like buying stuff online. Typically, you know, you buy stuff for piñatas.
Right.
I mean, it's a fun game. I wasn't expecting it to turn out how it was. He was just like, hey, you want to check this out? And I was like, no, not really. But he sent it to me, and I was like, all right, it's not that bad, really. My biggest gripe is just how long it takes to gather resources.
Oh.
Especially like if you're in the later parts at higher levels, it's a pain. It's so bad.
And
because you have to defend it for so long.
When you gather resources, like, is there like a time where there's nothing coming at you and then you just have to prepare?
Yeah, so when you start a match, you know, nothing happens. You're just running around a big open map. You're gathering resources. You're finding treasure.
Okay.
And then when you find the objective, it's like, I'm trying to remember what it's called. It's like you build this big like gate and you have to stop zombies from coming in.
Right.
So you can find the objective, you build it, and it doesn't start until you put these items called blue glow. Mm-hmm. And you find these throughout the map. And so once you add the blue glow, the blue glow, then you get a quick 5-second, decision if you want to keep going or stop because that starts like the defending wave. Mm-hmm. And then so, up until then, like you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a time limit, at least for defending. There are time limits for certain missions. So some missions you have 17 minutes to find all the survivors or whatnot, or you have 17 minutes until a weather balloon falls and defend it until the game's over. But usually you have to go out, find the objective and build it, and then that starts your mission. But until you start it, you can just do whatever. There's no time limit. But they have bonus objectives where you want to complete the entire match in less than two game days. And I think each game day is probably, maybe like half an hour.
No.
I think so. It's not too bad. But yeah, you can definitely go into a match and stay there forever, really. You can completely wipe out the entire landscape by mining everything. So,
fuck.
Okie doke.
So that was Fortnite. It's a really good game. I wasn't expecting it to be what it was. And then there was Titanfall 2.
Mm-hmm.
They added a game mode called Horde. Very mm-hmm. similar to Gears of War. Waves and waves of enemies. They start off little like infantry guys, and then they go up to the other Titans.
Yeah.
And you just do that till you die, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get, just like every other match, you would get, just experience, really. I'm still thinking of Fortnite. I'm just like, oh, so you get weapons and stuff. No, you just get experience from it. And they added, I think they added some skins, mm-hmm. but I think that's about it. But I'm glad that they're still adding stuff to Titanfall 2. It definitely deserves the DLC support. And the support, because it was such a 360 from the first game.
Yeah, 180. 360 would be turning around back to the same thing.
Nope, it was a complete 360.
No, it was on 360.
And then they came back around and made it better.
That would be a 540.
Nah. Okay. Anyways, just like we'll go into a little bit later. I think it's doing really good.
Yeah. All right. Was that pretty much it for you this week?
Yeah. Check out Fortnite. It's free to download in 2018.
And check out Justin's Fortnite tattoo that he got for a free version of the game.
Yes.
And that's going free to play in January, probably.
No, I mean, it's free to look at right now.
Yeah. And it is temporary in terms of you're going to have your skin removed.
Yes.
So
that's how I get it off.
You're going to have a little... It'd be cool to have a little clear pocket where you can just see your bones. Maybe do that.
Nah, I don't want that.
Okay. We'll talk about it off the podcast, and we'll see how we feel. All right, so I guess we were pretty light on news this week, and I don't know how much I have to say about everything, but who gives a shit?
Mm.
Okay, so the first thing today is that a NeoGAF post leading to actor Tim Neff's LinkedIn profile showed that he had been doing motion capture work for both Red Dead Redemption 2 and Grand Theft Auto 6. So this is really the first of anything we're hearing about Grand Theft Auto 6, like at all. Like, it hasn't been mentioned.
Right.
I'm sure we've known for a while that it's obviously been in development, which means it's probably pretty close to sort of like rounding out production, really.
Yeah. If anything, I was like, when I first read it, I was like, this is like a roll call, almost. Very similar to the same news about Star Wars, where the guy who was on Rogue One who played Darth Vader,
mm-hmm.
he's in the new Han Solo movie, and people are like, oh, so Darth Vader's going to be in it. And I was like, oh, this is kind of similar to where they were doing mocap then, so they're just doing a roll call to get people in to do his stuff now.
What do you think they're going to do with 6 this time around? Seeing that 5 was such a departure, you know, like, do you think they can go back to the single protagonist?
I don't know, because having a 3 players, it was very different, mm-hmm. and it felt refreshing. But since I don't know how they're going to take the ending, because the ending could have went anyway. It could have been like you killed Trevor and Mike, or you let them live, or maybe it's just going to be completely separate people.
I think for sure it will be going
in a single antagonist
way. Protagonist, or no. You mean like a single villain? That's an antagonist.
No, I want single protagonists. Okay. I can definitely see them going one person, because since they do have, I feel like their storytelling jumped up quite a lot,
mm-hmm.
but compared to, 4, it wasn't so good. But I just want single player.
Yeah. I think what I want is ostensibly that a real story like what we had with 4, but with a lot of the mechanics of 5.
Right.
Because it was a completely solid game, but having the three protagonists was more so a way to have a sort of mission diversity.
And you feel more grounded.
Yeah.
You feel more connected.
Yeah, so it was nice, and I did like all the characters when I was playing as them. I did kind of feel like I was them, depending on their situation. But it was such a more hearty, fulfilling story from 4, and there felt like there was a real reason like that you were doing it.
Yeah.
Because now it seems the only reason that Michael got into it was because they did this, you know, robbery 20 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever mm-hmm. it was, and then now he's completely out of the game, but now all of a sudden, he's like, yeah, I can kill 1,500 people.
Yeah.
And then get into
it. When the game started, it's like, oh, this is a butterfly effect.
Yeah, it's strange. And then same with Franklin. He's like, oh, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be in the hood. I want to make a real life for myself and this and that. And then he goes and kills a bunch of people and stuff.
Right,
yeah. So it's like, there's no, and then Trevor is Trevor. So that made sense for him. But I want to have a character that you're sort of rooting for more, because I feel like the only one that you could root for was Franklin. Because Trevor was a nightmare and Michael was just a rich dude with problems.
Right.
So going back to like Nico, who was an immigrant, and then going through his story and the lies and all this other stuff, that's what I kind of want to get back to.
Yeah. That's, again, like that's the story that I felt like more grounded, that I was more connected to.
Where do you think they would take it location-wise? Geographically, where are they going to go? Because it's pretty much, it's always going to have to be the coast, I feel like. They're never going to do Montana or something.
Right. Well, there's no water and you can't do any fun stuff.
Yeah, there's no islands or there's no, you know, like it pretty
Carson
much.
Carson City.
Hawaii.
Nevada. Yeah, they're going to go to Nevada?
No, Carson. Well, in Grand Theft Auto 3, there's a, I guess it's like New Jersey or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's like a place called Carson City. And then so like, I guess that's the only place they haven't been to. Because they've already been to Vice City, and they talk about that extensively. Same thing with San Andreas and then Liberty City.
Well, I feel like all it could really do is expand on the East Coast and be like, I don't know, we'll be in and around Boston yeah. and stuff. Because, like I said, there's nowhere really in the middle to go. Like, there's no states that stand out. Like, they're literally called the flyover states. We live in one. Like,
just go to the ones where that are close to Lake Michigan and shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's water.
I mean, I guess the maybe the only solid one would be Illinois with Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you have the surrounding country and stuff like that. But aside from that, it's going to switch back and forth between.
Yeah, because.
Or going over to Europe or something.
Well, I was going to say, they can't do it like a game like in the mainland, because then they would have to put barriers and people would be like, oh, well, just make it back in the water.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Italy.
One, I think it was like Spider-Man took place in New York,
mm-hmm.
but you could see like parts of New Jersey and like other parts of, but you just couldn't get to it. And I was like, if they do that, that'd be all right with me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it helps that New York, at least parts of it, are literally an island. And so there was those natural barriers.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess it remains to be seen. They could also just say, oh, we got the inspiration from Chicago, but it's an island that's Chicago or Illinois or whatever. You know, they don't
yeah.
have to stick to that. But I could also see them going back to London or some shit. But then it's alienating when you have a ton of users who are maybe used to driving on the right side of the road, and now it's the left, but that's only America.
They
do I don't
that
know.
Anyway.
What do you mean?
They drive on whatever
yeah,
fucking
exactly.
side of the road.
Yeah.
They'll be fine.
Say
yeah.
The only way to go, or the only way to go now, is space.
Yeah, they should go to space.
So is space.
Yeah, or underwater.
Space.
Where
space is the final answer.
I think we just need to have a Grand Theft Auto with only underwater escort missions.
I would hate underwater. Terrifies me.
Yeah, and your
escort missions too.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on from that, Justin kind of touched on this with Titanfall 2, which is Dying Light still has a huge player base of about 500,000 people active, and the game's been out for like 3 years-ish.
And it's still a great game to play.
That's
it is a really
zombie
good
game, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
is Dying Light 1?
Yeah, there's only one.
There's only one.
Yeah.
So what am I thinking of?
Dying Light was a, I don't know
Dead
if it was
Island,
a,
probably.
Maybe, yeah. There was. It wasn't, I don't think, a launch game, but it was pretty close to launch of the PS4. And it got decent reviews, but nothing said, hey, this is amazing. But it for sure, I feel, is the first quote-unquote zombie game to really elaborate on everything, I guess. And you know, you have something like Left 4 Dead, which is like floods of zombies, hordes of zombies.
Right.
And then you have Dying Light, which is just well, you're in like this South American town or something, mm-hmm. and people get sick, and then all this shit happens.
This was the parkour one, right?
Yep. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So there was there a DLC for it?
Yes.
Like a standalone one, or was it
no.
for the game? Okay.
Yeah.
The, so I might be thinking of the DLC then.
The only DLC there's a Trials one, like a parkour one, mm-hmm. a Horde one. Then they had a DLC where you got vehicles, and then but and there was no standalone stuff.
Right. And then you fight like special zombies that are like super strong or something.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah, that's part of it. Is more open areas I think I'm too. Of
that. Yeah. So there's a major like. Map upgrade to the game, so you just like Scott said, they added vehicles. You go out to like the countryside and you drive these dune buggies.
Well, the way that they do that is it's not the greatest. It's not a huge map. It's a decent sized map considering you're running around, but you go to like this tower, and the tower has like a poster in it, and that's how you travel in between these
three separate spaces. A tiny cave, and then
yeah.
you leave the city pretty much, and then you're out in the country.
Yeah,
so you can't just like actively just like go back and forth without quick travel.
Yeah, that's how they kind of settle that. But they said that because of this, Techland has planned 10 free DLC drops over the coming year.
Shit.
They didn't say much about it.
Yeah, they're doing for this because sure. their player base is still huge.
And I think because, you know, eventually there will be a Dying Light 2. Mm-hmm. I'm almost certain because of...
Yeah, the success behind Dying Light is there's definitely going to be like a franchise, I see.
Yeah, and do you know how much like The Division would kill for this amount of player retention?
I forgot about that game.
Yeah, everybody did. Yeah. That kind of became an issue.
Did you play it?
No. Justin did. Yeah. And he loved it for about 35 minutes.
I loved it for like a day, and that was it.
Yeah. And then they said, they had a weekly average of 700,000 players in September 2015, which was 9 months after it launched. And almost 2 years after that, it has a weekly average of 500,000. So 500,000 people still playing this largely single-player game, but there is multiplayer aspects to it, co-op and stuff. You can run around with other people. Mm-hmm. And then the... DLC schedule will give you more enemies, events, mysteries to solve, and it starts with DLC number 0, which introduces new enemies. But so far, there's no sort of like date or schedule or timeline.
And for the enemies they showed off were just like
they were like mercenaries,
like
and
military.
Shit.
Guys.
Yeah, they were the not more zombies or anything, unfortunately. But you know, it was cool. It had traps and shit. It had a good amount of diversity in the game.
That was a game where there's a lot of substance to it.
Yeah.
Very similar to like the Fallout series, but Far Cry, but with zombies.
Yeah, I think the worst thing about Dying Light was that because of how it was set up, almost every mission was some sort of fetch quest.
Yeah.
But in the middle of all that, you got to have fun.
Yeah, and you came across very interesting NPCs, like the guy who was like, "Oh, get medicine for Mama." But she's dead.
Yes.
Oh, she's been crazy dead. Guy.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
And if you haven't played that, then come on, man. It's been like 3 years.
Yeah.
Chill out.
All right.
You ruined your game. From there, we got news that the Overwatch League is now, well, I guess it's Blizzard for the Overwatch League. They've set out stipulations that franchise heads will have to follow. So all these people who are like, I'm going to get in on this esports shit. Mm-hmm. Like Justin mentioned, who is it from the owner of the
John
New England
Madden.
Patriots? Yeah, it's John Madden, Frank Caliendo.
Patriots football owner, franchise owner, whatever.
So he's jumping in on it. And I just thought this was really cool because they make a lot of money off of these people. Like, esports, as they get more popular, means more advertisements. The same reason people pay $1 million for a 15-second Super Bowl commercial, you know? And not that this is nearly that big, but when you get eyes on your shit, then people make money.
Yes, especially what I thought was really interesting is that a football coach or a football franchise owner, you know, wanted to do this. And I was like, oh, like, you don't typically see, like, someone, like, who's, like, sports... They're like, oh, like, you would think, like, jocks or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, like, no one wants to do that. Like, no one wants to sit down and play a game.
Well, but these people are, they're not even necessarily jocks. They're just people who like money.
Yeah, they're just like, these are the people who, like, know where money's going to be.
Yeah. So, basically, what Blizzard outlined are a couple of things. Franchise owners are required to give players at least 1-year contracts. salaries of at least $50,000.
Dude.
So you can literally make a living off of it.
Fuck.
Without only having to worry about winning. And then if you don't, you know.
Yeah, and if you win, there's even more money.
Yeah. They also are required to give health insurance, which is amazing. A retirement savings plan, so like a 401k. Housing during the season, so if you're traveling and stuff, they got to have a place for you to be, or, you know, more likely, if you're training in one of those weird houses where the dining room is just where you all play, then you have to live there. And at least 50% of what Blizzard refers to as performance bonuses, which is money from winning playoffs and other league events. So that's 50% of that.
Yeah, and that doesn't include, like, merch that people buy for you and whatnot,
well,
or from you. Right?
Well,
or are you getting into that?
So during season one, those winnings will amount to a total of $3.5 million, with a minimum of $1 million being awarded to the champion team. So people are going to be fucking rich, obviously.
I was reading this and it's like, holy shit, like these, they just play a game and they're fucking set for life, bro.
Too bad Overwatch is going to stop being a thing next year, right, guys?
Yeah, when Lawbreakers takes over.
Yeah, buddy.
They didn't really outline anything about merchandise. I think that will be an individual sort of contract. Like, if you.
Yeah, I thought that was in there where it's like, that's not including the merchandise if, like, 420 No Scope was going to be selling some jerseys and people were going to buy his stuff.
Well, no, what it is the over, so the Overwatch League, the Overwatch League is going to get a,
fucking shit.
Hell yeah.
I was trying to think of a name. I was going to say John Doe, but I was looking at the flowers in the back and I was like, there's a lot of green.
Yeah.
420, bro.
He went A to D with that. The merchandise. So part of it's just like how actual NFL jerseys, like, you can't decide you're going to sell a jersey for a football player that I don't know the name of.
Wayne Brady.
Sure, for Wayne Brady, right? You can't sell that because you don't own that license, that property. It's the NFL does. So the Overwatch League will get is the only people that can really sell those. And then it will be part of individual contracts for the players who gets, like, what percentage of what. It's not outlined in what Blizzard outlined for them. That's something else. So that's up for their agents. I don't know who that would be. I guess the franchise owner. Yeah, Tom Brady and Wayne Brady hanging out, playing ball. So that's a little different. And then the other shit that they said is, like, you're no longer limited to your specific region. So if we formed an American team, we don't have to have only, like, American-born players, basically. Yeah. We can hire players from Korea, that was their example, or, you know, any country, really, Venezuela, whatever.
Right.
And you can, it's still the American team, which is the way it should be.
That's what they do with soccer here, too, as well.
Yeah.
Just fucking everybody.
Yeah. You bring everybody in. And, yeah, exactly. So that's what they're going to do, is get whoever they can, and then hopefully, like other sports, the initial players get forced out by much better players who are much more diverse. That would be very funny.
Like, once they reach a certain age, they're gone, right?
Yeah, once they hit,
so, like, once they 22. Hit 29.
Yeah. You went way higher.
Yeah,
than me.
Let's say, like, I'm optimistic here. Yeah.
They're gonna get to, like, maybe 25 and be like, Jimmy, you're a little too old to play Overwatch now. You gotta give it up.
Jimmy?
He's like, but my bum leg. What do I do about my bum leg?
He's a robot.
He crutches off. yeah, so I think that's rad. It's kind of, they're sort of unionizing Overwatch players, which is dope. Unions are good and make your money. Yeah, I wish I was good at Overwatch so I could be happy. Anyway. Okay, Jose, you can probably talk about this, I think, right?
Probably.
Wolfenstein the New Colossus revealed a longer look at gameplay. So what was going on with that?
I didn't watch the gameplay.
Jesus
fucking
Christ.
I was just more interested in the fucking DLC. Because I'm like, well, if I'm going to play Wolfenstein 1, I should just not watch this.
Wolfenstein
I'm
New
kinda
Order.
I'm kind of like Star Wars-ing myself with this, like you do, without watching like any trailers or anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've only seen like the first trailer of...
at E3.
Well, no, Wolfenstein 1.
Okay.
Or the not the
first New Order.
The New Order, and then I watched the full playthrough of
The Old Blood.
The Old Blood. And then, like you said, it wasn't that interesting.
I was kind of surprised. Yeah, The Old Blood I don't like as much. I was kind of surprised they went with the new in this new one, because the last one was Wolfenstein The New Order, and now it's Wolfenstein 2 The New Colossus. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, are they going to put new in all of them?
Well, I would say, is it like kind of like a thing like, well, it's not the old Wolfenstein.
Yeah, it's the new one. But they, but then they did Old Blood. So I was like, are they going to have like
new blood?
No, no. They did the New Order and the Old Blood. So they can do the new Colossus and the old blank. But they're not doing that. So outline the DLC for us then.
So the first one, the one that caught my attention.
Well, so, what are they doing with it first?
They're doing three separate DLCs, right? With like three different characters.
Yes.
Which I wasn't fucking expecting. Just because like the name BJ Blazkowicz is, I guess, kind of like the whole Wolfenstein thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like, but like the first one is... Or are they even coming out in order?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
The first one is The Adventures of Gunslinger Joe, which is about a former professional quarterback who is essentially just fucking killing Nazis.
Yeah.
And it's fucking crazy. And from the looks of it, he is brown.
And he goes to space?
I guess. Like, there's only one place to go, man, at the end.
Underwater.
Space. Underwater with someone to escort.
Georgia? Okay.
The Diaries of Agent Silent Death.
Yeah.
That fucking name sounds cool.
Uh-huh.
It just reminds me of, like old spy names.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you one. The only one I remember was the one from Venture Bros.
Which is?
Molotov Cocktease?
Tease.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
There's a the James Bond ones are weird. So obviously there's
Goldfinger,
there's Octopussy. I was talking about the Bond babes. There's fuck.
They're gonna say Odd Job.
yeah. So guys, oh never mind. Well, you guys know the guy who played Odd Job in Austin Powers, who played can't remember the character's name. The guy who threw the shoe in Austin Powers. He was supposed to be the Odd Job character. Yeah. That guy tortured and killed someone.
Wow.
Yeah. I saw an interview with him while he was in prison, and he's talking to the person. He's like, actually, I'm an actor. I do comedies. And he's like, I have a Wikipedia if you want to look me up.
Yeah, and that's my whole. If you have a Wikipedia, you made it.
And then you go to Wikipedia, and you see that only mere years ago, he was found guilty of torturing and killing a person. Along with some other stuff, so feel free to look that up.
Is he in jail?
He's in prison for the rest of his life, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the rest of his natural life.
Does it say why, or was he just...
He tortured and killed someone.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, like, why did he do that?
I thought you were saying, well, I don't think it's enough.
Yeah, like, what was his motive?
Yeah, I thought you were saying, well, I've tortured and killed people, and they didn't put me in jail. He's a shitty bad person.
Okay, that's pretty much it. I was just like, oh, you took my family or something. He's, someone have fucking taken you or whatever.
No, he's a like naturally violent person. He was also a fighter. He fought in 47 matches, including boxing and UFC.
Shit.
He's in like UFC 49, which was like 100 plus ago. And he holds the record of losing every single match he's ever fought. He's 0-47. I don't think he ever got a draw either. He lost every single match he ever fought, and I think he also says that during the interview. But he's a piece of shit. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And so tell us about the Diaries of Agent Silent Death.
So I guess she's an ex-OSS agent, and she's like infiltrating Nazi bunkers in California, I guess. And it's fucking, like, I don't know. Like, I'm super fucking interested because I'm like, I guess it's like a parallel world where, well, it's the same universe as the new Order.
Yeah.
But, like, where the Nazis took over.
Yeah.
And I'm super curious, like, what's it look like?
Yeah, so that's
like, Jimi Hendrix is part of, like, the Resistance or something, too,
interesting.
Right?
Interesting. I don't know. Ooh, I thought that was in the
first
that.
One.
Oh, I don't remember.
I just heard some stuff and like.
Oh, there's definitely a guy who plays guitar. I don't know if he's Jimi Hendrix.
Probably him.
Yeah,
but like, I have no, like, this is the only thing that I know about it, and that he's in a wheelchair for that first part. But I didn't watch any video just because I want to be like surprised.
So if people don't know, this goes back to the very original Wolfenstein. The whole idea is an alternate history where the Nazis won. And so that's been the whole thing leading up to this.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time that they're showing it really in America.
Yeah,
right.
Mainland.
Yeah. And it's, I know in part of the gameplay they showed you walking around with, I think, a chainsaw and just looking at like Klan members and stuff. And people who don't know, we live in Indiana, which until about 60 years ago was known as the Klan state. So
now it's corn.
Yeah, there's more than just corn in Indiana. Corn. There's also corn. Racism. Yeah, corn
inside those cornfields.
Yeah, they have to hide because
they're hidden.
Fucking pussies. Sorry.
Oh, shit.
I'm not afraid to say that about clan members. Come kill me. I dare you. I'll give you my address.
The next one is The Amazing Deeds of Captain Wilkins, which this one's set in Alaska. And I don't think I've ever seen a game set in Alaska.
Fallout 3, they had that DLC.
Yeah, Anchorage.
Huh. Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm sure there are some, but that's the only one that came to mind.
I honestly thought Far Cry would do that first. Like Alaska.
Yeah, but they did the Himalayas, which is also cold. So they were like, good enough.
Yeah, it's too. It's already cold enough.
I'm sure there's like those hunting games where you like hunt bears.
Cabela's big game hunt. Yeah.
But I guess it's about a U.S. Army renowned hero, Captain Gerald Wilkins, and he goes on a mission that's controlled. Well, the Nazis are controlling Alaska, so he's going to dismantle the whole operation, I guess.
Yeah. I'm glad that people are really looking forward to killing Nazis. Did either of you see that there's that bit of gameplay where the Nazis are talking to one another and they're saying something along the lines of, you're going to kill me because you don't agree with my beliefs? And like, you're going to kill everyone who doesn't agree with you? Obviously mirroring, you know, modern day arguments. Where people are openly racist and then try to hide it behind something else and say, oh, well, just because I'm a terrible monster person, you think that I should die? And then to that I say, of course, yeah, I wish you guys all would naturally so that someone didn't have to go and do it, you know? So I thought that was fun.
Yeah, I watched the gameplay and it's like, oh, this, to me, it was like, it looks very similar to the original Wolfenstein, which it should. And I was like, there's not much of a visual upgrade to the game.
Well, when you guys say original, you mean...
I mean, not okay. I've never played an original Wolfenstein. I'm talking about New Order.
Okay. So you mean the first one for the PS4.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's one of the issues is I've seen articles or, you know, tweets or whatever from people who have played it. Mm-hmm. And it seems to carry over a lot of the same gameplay elements.
Yeah. And for me, like, to me, that's fine because that's like continuation.
I don't know, though, because there were a lot of problems with Wolfenstein, the New Order, because there were issues with AI either being way too intelligent or not intelligent enough. There is a difficulty ramp that gets kind of crazy, especially depending on what difficulty you play on. And, you know, they use a lot of old systems mm-hmm. in terms of health packs and armor packs and stuff like that. That was a little interesting, kind of like what Doom did as well. But they're carrying all these issues over, it seems like. And people have this nostalgia now, even for just the one that came out a couple years ago, because, you know, it's never been more prescient of, you know, Nazis in America being open about it, you know? So people are like, yeah, I'm excited to play that game. But as a game, it has a lot to fix since the last one.
This is Bethesda, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess we'll see where it goes, though.
And I guess those three characters are going to show up in a prequel chapter as well.
Interesting.
Yeah. But only if you pre-order or buy the season pass.
Yeah.
So, that. I mean, I think I might end up just buying the season pass.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm probably going to get more out of this than I am Tekken.
Yeah,
so I don't think I'll feel bad paying for it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I did Tekken.
Fair enough. Ooh, here's something, Jose. Tell us about Pokemon Go Fest.
Oh, man, it was shit.
Was it?
Yeah, apparently.
I heard it went great and everything was fine.
Wait, is that where you went?
No, fuck no.
you drove to Chicago to be part of Pokemon Go Fest.
Do you have to pay for it, apparently?
Yeah, you had to buy tickets.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I think they're $100.
So mm-hmm. A lot of people chanting, like, fucking fix the game and
booing
children passing out from heat stroke
and yeah, trying to catch legendaries and shit.
Yeah. Oh my god, man.
Pretty much everything went wrong. People couldn't play the game or the servers were down or whatever was going on. It was hard to catch the legendary they were offering, I guess. And basically everyone booed and made everyone look stupid.
Yeah, I don't think anyone who, you know, participated in the event got the legendary. Really?
Yeah. What they had to do actually was they refunded everyone's ticket, refund in quotes, in coins, because they did it in in-game currency, $100 in in-game currency mm-hmm. or in-game credit, and then they also gave everyone at the event the legendary Pokemon. So
who I think was Lugia, Zapdos. I meant Articuno, maybe both.
I think it was Lugia, and then they announced Articuno was gonna. I don't fucking know.
Okay. Yeah, some shit.
I had a friend of mine who went, and he was very, very, very disappointed.
Yeah, so now what they're dealing with is almost 30 people are suing Niantic and Pokemon Go.
Can you do that?
I mean, you can they're probably definitely trying. Anything, they have, they have a lawyer who's working on it. Basically said, you know, they offered something, they didn't follow through on it, whether it's technical or not, they didn't follow through, and then they refunded in-game credit
instead of money.
Instead of money, but also there are people who traveled from Europe and Japan and even other states, you know, to go to Pokemon Go Fest, and so they're basically saying it extends way beyond that $100 ticket. There are hotel fees there, you know, because if you say we're having this event where you can definitely do this stuff and then you can't follow through on it, then that's false advertising.
Right. Yeah, so. And I think it only happened over in Chicago. Everyone else just had to, like, catch Pokemon. But, like, the main event was up in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody had fun there, right?
Yeah.
Whoa, Chicago!
And what was funny is Niantic had to... They had to give full refunds just, like, 2 or 3 hours into the event starting.
Dude.
Because everything was going so terrible. So, yeah, they get $100 of in-game credit, the legendary Pokemon, and... Yeah, basically the lawyer that's ponying up for all this shit is like, you didn't give what you promised, so you fucked up.
People live streaming and everybody going, the game doesn't fucking work. This doesn't work.
And I can just, I don't know how these people have the balls to like go on stage and speak and people are just booing them and they're just like, hey guys.
And they were like ignoring the fact that everything was going wrong.
Yeah.
Like that's fucking crazy. And then at least say something like, I know something's not going right here, but
no, I think he went on his stage and he said, take it from here, then Flo Rida came out and he said, welcome, he did to the Pokemon my rap. House. Yeah. he did it in his signature Flo Rida flourish.
Oh man,
my whole thing was that this should have happened like 2 weeks after the game launched. Like they should have had a Pokemon Fest like while the game was like still hot. Not after it's died.
Yeah, agreed. But they did have a pretty huge resurgence once they said we're bringing
Gen 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Gen 2, and then like they fixed like the gym stuff, and
yeah,
they made it I guess more of a game.
Raids are different, and I guess they also had to put out that Articuno. There's if you come across that Pokemon, there was only a 2% chance of catching him, which is extremely low. And then they said, well, we've changed the difficulty, so now you have a 3% chance of catching him.
Whoa.
Yeah, those are real numbers.
You have to participate in a raid anyways, and you have to beat hard Pokemon.
Well, and then you have to, like, you know, throw berries at him and shit, and then try to throw it, and it just, most people aren't getting it, so.
Yeah, if this would have came out, like, off, like, the, I don't know, success of launch, then it would have been, like, you know, major, and it would have been, like, something that would have been, like, oh, yeah, like, this is... Like, everyone would have loved it, and then maybe it would have been a lot better.
See, I get that it's a legendary, and, like, yeah, it's 3% chance of catching it, whatever, but I feel like they should only really do that with, like, events, where, like, you're getting the legendary regardless at the end of this event.
Yeah.
Or, like, a week where, like, you have this week to catch this Pokemon or until, like, next year or something, and then there's a 3% chance in that week or something, and then you just keep playing it. But, like, if it's at an event, like, I would like to be guaranteed the Pokemon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, at least
instead
like,
of just the opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. We're like, let me go to GameStop and get a stupid card that has a code on it so I can fucking get it.
Yeah, if anything, they should have. I would have canceled the whole Pokemon, like, go. Well, no, I would have just made it so, like, at GameStop, there's, like, a mini event where you get a chance to get the legendary instead of having to fly, like, across the country to Chicago or something.
I mean, this game has just never appealed to me. One, because we live in a barren wasteland of a state. But two, it's just like when I play the Pokemon games, which I, you know, like at least the 2D ones, I'm playing as a character who catches Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And then I would get kind of excited because it's like, I'm this character and I got this Pokemon, you know, it's all digital and stuff. But then when you go like, I'm a real life person and I have potentially spent money to catch code.
Yeah.
And then that just, it means nothing to me. Like, I would be more interested in just, like, card collecting Pokemon shit on there.
For the first month, I had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
And downtown, literally the only place where there's going to be things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I spent most of my time that whole month.
Yeah, it was jam-packed.
It was fun. And everybody was happy at the time. But then after a while, it just became, like, you go to the same place and you find the same Pokemon.
Because there was nothing to do.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, like, evolving the Pokemon was tedious and stuff. Like, you had to catch the same Pokemon. I'm like, oh, but a Gyarados, or not a Gyarados, a Magikarp.
Yeah, you need 100.
I think you need, like, 500.
1,000.
It was a lot.
Or something. Anyways, yeah.
We both said different numbers.
Yeah, there were, like, 4 different numbers thrown out there, but
you
needed a lot.
Yeah, it was fun for that first month, and then, like, once you start realizing this game's kind of broken, you're just like, oh, well, I mean, why? At what cost?
Yeah. And I mean, they're still making money hand over fist, yeah, which is why they're doing it. But I...
When they added Gen 2, I was interested again, but I'm like, I'm not, no.
Yeah, I got to work and shit, you know? I'm not trying to...
I'm not trying to be out in the hot sun.
Yeah, me and Jose talked about this yesterday. The sun's bad.
Yeah, it sucks, man. It's constantly trying to kill you.
Yeah, basically what I said is...
It makes your skin kill itself.
When you were a kid, you said, well, I guess I have to put up with the hotness because I'm out of school, you know? Yeah, and I have to take advantage of being outside. But as an adult, why would you ever go out in the sun?
All I want to do is stay inside and nap.
I mean, if you want to get really depressing about it, but like, I'm just saying, it sucks being sweaty. It's not good. No one likes being sweaty. And if you do, hey, good for you, man. Summer's time to do it. Enjoy your sweat.
it was a total crazy shit fest.
What it was. That's what they should call it next year.
Pokemon shit fest.
Total crazy Pokemon Go shit fest. And then in lighter news, Nintendo is sort of crushing it currently.
Yep.
So according to Reuters, the 16.21 billion yen, which is $145 million operating profit for April to June, surpassed the 11.55 billion yen analyst forecast. During the same period last year, Nintendo posted a 5.13 billion yen loss. So they made, you know, 150, or what was it? I can't even do math in my head. But basically, 21 point whatever billion yen more than they did last year.
And fuck, man.
Just imagine how much more money they could make if they still weren't pretty steadily fucking up.
Right, right.
You know, in terms of not having consoles for people to buy that people want quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And just can't get their hands on.
Yeah, and there's still like crazy long lines over in Japan for them.
Yeah, so now in Japan what's going on is people are going through these lines to get a raffle ticket for a chance to win a Switch. Not win, but a chance to buy it. So when you're lining up, it's not even like if you're the first person you get it. It's just, you know, you get tickets and then we raffle them off and then you can come buy it.
Well, if they want, they can fly over to Indiana. There's still there's a
surplus. Yeah, there's a surplus here because no one is buying these things. When Jose and I went to get ours, granted it was the day they came in, there were seven or eight there. And then we bought two of them.
I think I went down to Family Dollar and they had 12 of them.
Yeah. CVS has them, but they're $500. So, yeah. I mean, but you got to pay for that convenience, You go in there, you get a Snickers, you get a Heath bar, which you didn't know they still sold. And then you buy you buy a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, they come with it.
And then as far as their games go, what do they have? So they've sold 4.7 million units of the Switch hardware. And 13.6 million for Switch games, which is pretty respectable.
Yeah.
Yeah, if anything, I was like, oh, so Legend of Zelda is like selling the console.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there are more copies of Zelda out there than there are Switches. Like, there are almost twice as many Breath of the Wild games out than there are Nintendo Switches.
I keep forgetting that thing came out for the Switch, too. I mean, for the Wii.
Wii U.
Damn.
Yeah, it was the last AAA game to come out for the Wii U. And then... Yeah, I haven't heard much about that version. I remember thinking, I'll just get that version.
Apparently, it ran a little better, like as a console game.
Yeah, yeah. I know the pad was useless during it.
Yeah, which is weird because I think that's what it would have benefited from the pad, like at least like switching weapons and that cool menu that you have. I know the draw distance was a thing, like that was an issue in the Wii U version because it wasn't as far, and that's probably why it ran better because it just fog.
Yeah I have either of you seen the glitch of how to play Breath of the Wild without the Sheikah slate?
No
What is that?
So it's basically you just go, you wake up obviously in the fucking resurrection cave or whatever it's called, and then you save in the room. You start up your different game and you go to the edge of like a building or something, or go like create an ice block and you stand on top of it. And you save and you back out and you open your other game. And when you are in the resurrection place, you'll fall and then you'll collapse like you died. And then you'll just wake up outside of the cave without your Sheikah slate. And then, which means, as far as I know, you can't have any weapons because that's where you...
That's your menu.
Yeah, it's your inventory. No food, no anything, no way
weapons at all.
I'm pretty sure. because I don't know how you manage it.
Like hardcore mode or something?
No, it's just a glitch, and I think you would just have to run and do everything, but you can never defeat anybody. Yeah,
that's when you use those chickens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Use them to take down the divine beast and solve the puzzles for you.
Dude, that's fucking insane.
Yeah, so it basically makes the game unplayable. But anyway, Nintendo, stop fucking up with your terrible voice chat shit.
Just get rid of it. I'd rather have nothing.
Yeah, pretty much. or if not, fix your app. Make it so that the Splatoon 2 stats aren't only available in the app. That's shitty of you. And, you know, maybe cut the price of your fucking controllers, because that's insane.
Cut the price of all your stuff.
Except for the Switch. Switch is good. I mean, you can go cheaper, but I already have one, so I don't care anymore. ThinkGeek ThinkGeek has them in stock, but they have like some bullshit bundles with it. So like, here, you want this? You want the Switch with Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and this bullshit lamp that's shaped like a Triforce for $700.
Yeah, they someone, I think it was on What's Good Games, they were talking about when what's that one place? The Geek place? What's it called?
Geek Squad?
No.
ThinkGeek.
Yeah, they did bundles with the NES Classic where they...
with other bullshit.
Yeah, they're like, here's some shirts and some whatever plastic stuff.
For $150.
Exactly.
Like,
but, I mean, smarter than them.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to do it, but I'm like, I don't want this bullshit lamp shaped like a Triforce.
Yeah, you already have one.
Yeah, I already have three.
Yeah, so it's useless.
They make a bigger Triforce.
Yeah, that, oh my God. Yeah. You get three and make a... yeah, so that's kind of it for the news, unless you guys have anything else.
No, I got nothing.
All right, so that brings us to a segment I like to call...
What is?
Good job, guys. okay, so this week, seeing as we were talking about Pokemon Go and the popularity sort of waning and, you know, just fluctuating, like, what are your guys' thoughts on mobile gaming as a whole? Like,
I was never big into mobile gaming.
Yeah?
Yeah, big game that I played was that Simpsons Tapped Out.
Yeah.
That's the only game I played pretty much on my phone. So
do you ever check the App Store for games or anything? Nope. Do you ever get interested when they say, oh, well, Final Fantasy 3 is coming to the App Store?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
So I've tried playing mobile games.
Yeah.
Like, there are games, sure, they're like Tales of Blink or Fire Emblem Heroes, but they're like, hey, you can download this game, but you're also going to download this 500 meg patch and then this other gig patch in like a week. And I'm like, nah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of space. In terms of like of actual real games, like Final Fantasy 3, and because I own Final Fantasy 4 on there, and for some reason I can't get into it on my phone as much as I can on a DS for some reason.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So I would say I don't care for mobile gaming.
Yeah,
too much. Like the only games I can see myself playing on there are rhythm games, and sometimes I'm just like, well, I think this is where they belong,
like yeah, rhythm sort games of.
As a whole. And but other than that, like I don't think I can do, you know, mobile games.
Yeah, I feel like the four mobile games what I appreciate are puzzle games.
Yeah, I
so
can see that.
Something as simple as like Threes, which is really good, which was later copied by 2048, right, who made it way shittier, so fuck them.
Sudoku.
Yeah.
I think if Nintendo were to release a Pokemon game, much like how they have their Game Boy stuff on mobile, I think that'd be all right.
Yeah, I don't think it would be bad. I think my issue comes with, you know, they put these games out for the iPhone, but with no, like, using your screen for control still sucks.
Yeah.
Especially because you're touching over parts where...
Yeah, they give you that, like, virtual, like, analog.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
It's bogus, and you're covering part of the screen.
That's also, like, the big part of why I couldn't get into Final Fantasy IV is that they give you, a virtual analog stick with some buttons, and they have the options to... pick your attack and stuff.
Yeah.
And I keep wanting to like touch the attack, but yeah, I have as opposed to move the virtual joystick, and I'm like, this doesn't work.
Yeah, the only games I play are Mini Metro, which is a fun little like subway building game. That's good, and then Threes as well. But I feel like all of these games that come out are pretty much a straight up cash grab.
Yeah.
Either in terms of like we're gonna have bogus ads on it the whole time, or we're going to do crazy microtransactions,
yeah,
like Pokemon Go or Candy Crush or whatever.
Right.
So, final verdict. What do you guys say? Mobile gaming?
No.
Yeah, I think it's bad.
Yeah.
But there are good games. Monument Valley's good. Threes is really good. Mini Metro's good. There are good games that come out. Just not for me.
Yeah.
All right, and then the follow up to that is, what in your opinion is the most underrated TV show? Oof. And that can be of the past, the present, the future. What are you guys thinking? I can always give mine first if you need me to.
Mission Hill.
Okay.
I don't think they got enough play.
Yeah. Why do you say that?
Because there was only one season.
That is, well, yeah, that is true. I'll go ahead and say that mine was Mission Hill. Yeah. It's a very good show made by Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein from The Simpsons. Simpsons fame.
Theme song.
Had a great theme song. It was Cake, mm-hmm. I believe, Italian Leather Sofa. Great song. And the animation was good. It had good-ass animation. It had a unique art style that went in between sort of like surreal avant-garde stuff as well as just like normal cartoons. Mm-hmm. The color palette was super interesting.
Yeah. So it was very bright, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was extremely bright.
People were pink, blue, yellow, red. Yeah,
exactly. And it chose an art style and really went for it. And mm-hmm. it was and the show's funny. And right. It was like pretty heartfelt too. Like it felt real. Like that's what I loved about The Simpsons, at least in the early days, was it was a family sitcom. It wasn't just a cartoon where crazy shit happens, like Family Guy or something. And with Mission Hill, there were like stakes and shit going on, relationships, all that stuff.
I remember
you watching this at your place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was originally going to say Three South, but I don't think that holds up
anymore. It doesn't.
Because I went back to watch a few episodes. I'm like, oh, this is odd.
Yeah, it really is very much of its time.
I think the same guys, or at least the same animators, made the
Border Town.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, is this good?
No.
Okay, I figured it wasn't.
Yeah, it's like if Three South met, I think they worked with Seth MacFarlane. as Seth MacFarlane, no D, sorry. And Border Town came out. I think it's already been canceled, but it is on Netflix. But yeah, it's the exact same art style, except everyone is a person of color, basically.
Were you ever interested in a regular show, by any chance?
Not so much. I couldn't get into regular show or Adventure Time as much as people
there
said
I
should.
There is a new show by the people who made regular show, mm-hmm. and it's more mature mm-hmm. rated. It's called Close Enough, and they showed the trailer off, I think, at SDCC, and it looks pretty
interesting.
Cool.
I'll check that out. What about you, Justin?
I don't think I have one.
No?
But if I think the closest would probably be Metalocalypse.
Okay.
that Metalocalypse to me was great, but then they got like 30-minute episodes, and then they were like, oh, okay, this is weird.
Yeah, it started to lose like its shine after after a bit.
It was a great show.
Yeah, I'd say that's the show that I watched. Like during high school and stuff, and I was like, "Oh, this is kind of funny because I'm a teenager."
Yeah, that was from Brendan Small, who also created Home Movies, which was also another good show.
Good show too.
Yeah, on very beginning Adult Swim before they had the black and white bumpers and stuff like that. It was just
that
literally
weird red sun looking thing.
Well, it was literally like people swimming in a pool, and then they had someone over the headset be like, Adult Swim, get out of the pool." And I mean, you can even go back then to like Space Ghost was also, I think, pretty underrated.
Coast to Coast, yeah.
Shit like that.
Yeah, that was a cartoon that was a
Brack show.
It was an interview show.
Almost like how like they have the Conan O'Brien show.
Yeah, it was a talk show with a cartoon. And
every early Adult Swim show, I guess, kind of.
For the most part, they were really good. And then they started getting like, okay, now Adult Swim has this idea of we're like we do weird creepy. Like Moral Oral was a really good show too.
Moral Oral always made me really crazy. Sad.
Well, yeah, that was the whole point. That was the whole point because that was made by Starburns Productions, which is Dino Stanitopoulos, who works with Dan Harmon, who made Community, and it was meant to be depressing, basically.
Mm-hmm. It was rough,
and it was, and yeah, and that was getting claymation. You know, come on,
that must have taken them forever.
Okay, and then my last question, what?
I'm just thinking of one, and he's like, that's fucking brutal.
never mind. Anyway, so Justin, what is?
What is nice weather.
Yeah, okay. Jose, what is?
Me finishing my water, and that'll end the podcast.
Yes. Drink it.
I'll get there. Bitch. No, chug, not yet. Chug. I have to wait until Scott does his thing.
I think it's...
Oh, what was that?
What was what?
Made you look.
Damn.
This is an audio medium. I'd like everyone to know that I stared in Justin's eyes after he said that, and he still shouted, "Made you
Hold
look."
On. Check this out.
Jose just pulled out his penis in front of everyone in here.
You did like a musketeer. You're like this.
What?
A musketeer?
Remember when the Three Musketeers had three mascots and they were the Three Musketeers?
Did they really?
Yeah, and they were like kind of like claymation looking. One of them was blonde.
I think what is the space monkeys, sponge monkeys from Quiznos.
Oh, God.
Quiznos up! Those people.
Quiznos are good. Yeah. I always thought they were hamsters.
I did too.
No, they're called sponge monkeys. Yeah. That's the name of them.
Why?
But they were hamsters. There were pictures of like hamsters or gerbils.
It's better than Subway's mascot.
That was a slow burn for me. I was like, what do they have, like a loaf of bread?
That's when I said, oh.
And then I said, I thought, oh yeah, it was a loaf of bread. That's pretty much all it was. I think it was South Park who talked about Jared Fogle, and may have been the Simpsons or Family or something when I was a teenager, where they said, there was a Subway, the guy who used to be fat and ugly, but now he's just ugly. And I thought that was great at the time. But also, burn in hell.
Yeah. So fuck, dude.
Enjoy that.
You're gonna be a mascot. Don't do that. Actually, don't do that in general.
Yeah, please just never, yes. Never do.
Yeah, don't.
Do the thing.
Hey, guys, don't do bad things. Coming from us here at the Rat King. You guys have any final thoughts before we call it quits for this much shorter episode than usual?
No.
Nothing on my end, good sir.
Okay. So you've been listening to episode 24 of The Rat King. Remember to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review, and we'll kiss your little butts. No promises. Jose's chugging his water. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Rat King Podcast, and send your questions, comments, corrections, and suggestions to ratkingpodcast@gmail.com. Remember, we do it so you don't have to. I'm Scott Petty.
I'm Justin Stokes.
Bye. Yes, we have.